Today we want to look at the subject of consecration. Someone say consecration. Amen. Shall we appreciate our worship team? Shall we appreciate? Thank you so much. Thank you. Instrumentalists. Amen. Shall we appreciate them? Okay. All right. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. I'm going to start with that one scripture. Joshua 3, verse 5. What's my leeway, Jimmer? How far can I go? I can go anywhere. Oh, glory. This is it. He who the sun sets free is free indeed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The purpose of our series, School of Leaders and Disciples, is to help what I really believe to be a generation of leaders to understand their call and their assignment and to prepare for it effectively. And when I say this, when I use the word leadership, I'm not talking exclusively about church leadership. What I am saying is that we are a generation that the mandate upon us is to lead, even just by virtue of some of the environments we find ourselves in. And you may not yet have come to that understanding, that point in your faith. At the moment, you may not have come to that realization, but trust, I want to say trust me, but trust God, and then trust me. You will realize eventually over time that the hand of God is upon you. So what I'm doing over these next 8 weeks, what we're doing is to help with tools, resources, and possibly, I guess, even demystify some of the complex journeys that some of us have had, because we are yet to understand our lives in the context of our calling. It's possible that we think that our lives belong to us. It's possible to think that our story is exclusively about us. It's very possible that we may not understand that our story is the unfolding of a prophetic agenda or God's agenda. And when you live life from this everyday perspective, please hear me, but are we here? Okay. When you live life from this perspective, this own soul perspective, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear, there's going to come a time in your life that life would be tasteless. It will be tasteless, it will be empty, it will feel useless. You will think that the more substance you have, the more wealth you have, the more clothes you have, the more degrees you have. You have more degrees than a thermometer. The more degrees that you have, the more influence that you have, the more kids that you have. You can't say the more spouses you have. You have one. Okay, the more you will think more means more until you have more and you have less. So the earlier you're able to understand, one of the reasons why in this house we try to teach the Word of God so intentionally is because we want you to have understanding. You got to be better Christians than God give me. That is what some of the generations before us did, that they did not enter into the fullness of God. Let me not start this. There is something called the fullness of God. It is in Ephesians chapter 3 that Paul tells us, he says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, so you can be filled with the fullness of God. You and I, we have a desire for the fullness of God. We do, that is why we are dissatisfied sometimes. That is why we don't like the norm and the status quo. Am I making sense? Oh, we're in the same boat. There are certain things that I perceived God was calling me to do, I didn't want to do them if I was going to do them in the way that it's been done. Am I making sense? So, let's talk about this thing called consecration, right? This word consecration, Josh, is rank because, all right. Joshua is talking to the people of Israel, and they are at this very important point in their journey and their transition. That whole journey from Egypt to the promise, to Canaan, it has to be studied. It is a lot of things. It is insight into the mind of God. It's a leadership lesson. It's a life lesson. That a very important point, there's just been a leadership transition, the heralding of a new order. It's a new generation. It's a new type of leadership. It's the Joshua type of leadership. The Joshua type of leadership had one clear manifesto: bring them in. I love it. That's it. Bring them. Joshua is my type of guy. I like Moses a lot, don't get me wrong, but I like Joshua because Joshua's mandate is bring them in. They had been around this mountain too long. Does that make sense? They had heard wilderness messages and wilderness theology and had seen wilderness miracles. Don't let me start this afternoon. There are miracles you can see. They are behind God's agenda. Okay, can I visit it? I'm not going to park. I just want to visit it. There are things you can see, and you think that because you're seeing them, that is the current move of God, but actually, it's just a sustaining move of God. Yeah. They were eating manna in the wilderness. They were years behind God's actual program. God can sustain you in disobedience just because he's God, just because he's kind. So the Joshua type of leadership, the Joshua mentality, it's a challenging type of leadership. You see that? And that is the kind of leadership that will begin to arise around us in the church, in the world, in the new emerging order of leadership. I'm not saying that there'll be a loss of character or kindness, but one thing that I know about this leadership anointing that's coming in these end times is an anointing that brings you in. Because some people love to stay out. They love wilderness pastors. Hello, somebody. Right? They love wilderness pastors. Right? But the Joshua type anointing is an anointing that challenges your framework, that challenges your norm, that challenges your comfort zones. Does that make sense? The Joshua message sometimes is not pacifying. It's not pacifying. It's challenging. Can I go up a bit? It's as when you sit under this type of grace that I'm talking of, this expression of Christ, sometimes it will feel like, nobody understands me. No, every time we have to understand you. God understands you. Does that make sense? Because until certain aspects of God are released upon us, we will stay in the same position. So, here's Joshua. Please watch what's happening here. Israel, because I'm going to come with something today. Israel had been mourning the loss of their leader. Please understand the history and the journey that a lot of these guys had with Moses. The miracles, the hand of God, the care, the support, the loyalty. So these people essentially are mourning. Joshua himself is mourning. In fact, Joshua so mourned that God told him the obvious. Moses, my servant, is dead. That's not revelation. He knew that already. But God had to help him acknowledge it. Moses, my servant, is dead. But the work goes on. Right? Okay? It's like I lost something. I am in sorrow of the things that have happened. But God said, it has happened. Do you get it? God said, it has happened. But even though it has happened, I have work for you to do. There is that aspect, you know. Does that make sense? Not every anointing must pacify. A school of leaders and prayers. They said I have space, so I'm going to truly exercise my space. I can move. Jennifer, you ready? So I can move? No? Okay. All right. Are we following? I'm going to get to my point. Just wait. I have to lay this down for you. All right? Okay. Not every anointing must pacify. Sometimes it must challenge. So Moses, my servant, is God goes to Joshua and God challenges Joshua and he tells him that, listen, what I need you to do is to move these people out of this wilderness and move them into the land that I've promised for them. So Joshua begins the conversation, all right? And he goes to these people who are mourning and he also says to them, listen, I get your mourning, but he said to them, he said, consecrate yourself because tomorrow the Lord will do wonders amongst you. These stories are not straightforward. Does that make sense? The people may not have, their disappointment may have hindered their next move. But the mandate here was, the charge here was, regardless of what you think your experience is, the program is occupy Canaan. And sometimes the Lord has to speak to us that way. Does that make sense? If you don't know God, you will think that God doesn't care about your emotions. He cares more than you. But he knows that if you sit in the spot that you're sitting in, you'll be worse off. Does that make sense? And why? And I get it. You guys, you know, I'm loving by the grace of God. Yeah. Okay. So I get it. I understand it. Okay. But there is an overemphasis in the modern day church on emotions. And oh, are you hearing me? Yeah. A, emotional intelligence, awareness, I am all for that. But there is a point where it becomes an idol. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? There is a point where it becomes, and there's a point where I just have to push past it. Hey, how many of you, when you pray daily, you feel your emotions are ready to pray? If you pray based on emotions, you won't pray. So God comes to these people who are in a sensitive place. Are you hearing me? They come to a people who are in a sensitive place, comes to a people who are in a difficult place, and he says to them this thing. He says, consecrate yourself. Why did he ask them to consecrate themselves? Because they were entering into another phase in God. You see that? Of course, the interesting thing was that their journey was a journey of consecration. It was a journey of separation. To consecrate yourself means to set yourself apart. Their journey, are we still here? Is it too hot? The fan is not on. You need to have your, yeah, so are you guys, all right? Okay. I won't share. I was in a leadership meeting once and a bird came into the room and the leaders, it was a different leadership meeting. Okay. And the leaders, they just said out. They didn't run, they didn't hide, they didn't. Okay. Are we still here? Am I making sense? All right. So why did God ask them to consecrate themselves? Their entire journey, and there was a journey of consecration. It was a journey of being separated. They had been separated from Egypt. They had been called out of Egypt. Israel had been called out. Their entire journey was a journey of separation. But now they're about to enter into the promises of God, and it's as though God comes with the message from the beginning. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? The essentially, the first message that... Understand that the whole story of Israel and Egypt is mirroring salvation. Coming out of Egypt means coming out of the world system. So they had come out of the world system. They had come out of Egypt. And in their journey, God is saying, come out again. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Because sometimes there are things that today in the, I just want to get straight to my point. There are things today in the body of Christ that we don't have as emphasis anymore. And we're wondering where the authentic power of God is. So God says through Joshua to the people, consecrate yourselves, because tomorrow I will do wonders amongst you. In other words, the possibility of tomorrow is rooted in the consecration. If you mess with consecration, you mess with tomorrow. I just want to talk about a few. I'm not here to cause trouble. I slept good. I'm not offended with anybody. But I just want to touch some important things in a generation. God says, listen, although I promised you the promised land, although I said you will have it, you see that? Although it's a work of grace, although I said I will give it to you, but consecrate yourselves to enter into what I said. Are we making sense? Are we still here? Okay. So this word consecration, especially for the generation of people that really believe that, you know, God has called us to do great things. God has called us to do amazing things. One of the primary teachings when the hand of God is upon you, in fact, the thing that the Lord teaches you the most in your life before committing anything into your hands is how to consecrate yourself. You spend, watch, are we here? Is this School of Leaders and Disciples? Are we interested? You spend, I can tell you this for a fact, you spend more time with God learning consecration than you spend learning your gifts. Can I tell you why? I've hardly seen anyone crumble because they no longer know how to use their gifts. But I've seen them crumble because they no longer understand consecration. The subject of consecration, Yofi, it's not a subject that happens at the beginning of your salvation. It is a continuing theme throughout. Every time God, this is a pattern in God. Every time God wants to shift you to the next level, every time he will call for consecration. This is a pattern in God that you just don't. Hey, listen. God is God, but there are depths to God. This is what people do. There are diamonds. That's why two people can be talking about God, and one thinks, why are you saying no? It's because one has entered into a place in God that intellect cannot come to. There are things that except is revealed to you by relationship. Although it's in the letter of the scripture, you may not see it. So there are dimensions in God. And every time that a God wants to shift a people into an... If God wants to shift you into marriage, he'll call for consecration. Believe me. If God wants to shift you... Now, of course, anyway, we'll balance that. Don't worry. If you're hearing this message and you're already married, you're married. Peace be unto you. And God bless your journey. Amen. So don't worry about that. What I'm trying to say is that whenever God wants to bring you into something that he has ordained for you, he will draw you into consecration. They were promised, but God says, I want to quickly break down. Are we still here? Are we following? Are we flowing? I quickly want to break down this thing called consecration. Because it's very possible to use the word consecration without breaking down what it actually means to consecrate. The question is, what does consecration look like? What does it mean to... I am marveled by the type of leaders we are raising in a generation, right? Who have no history of consecrating. They have no history of consecrating. Your gift can operate without your consecration. You can build without your consecration, but can you last? Can you last without your consecration? Right? As an emerging leader, you need history with God. Did you hear what I said? You need, Pastor Tinim, you're a businesswoman, right? You need history with God. right? You need, amen. You guys, listen, everyone, you need history with God, right? You need to know God. You need history with Him. All right? If you don't have history with God and you get into doing things, you'll be consumed. Are we here? Are we learning? I just want to build my foundation very carefully. Okay. All right. So what does it mean to consecrate? Right? To consecrate simply means to be set apart, and it's that process of giving yourself to the Lord. You see, it's that process of setting yourself apart, all right, and giving yourself to the Lord. Okay, I'm going to quickly give you these things. I find it a useful structure. Okay. I'm going to give you how to consecrate, but in terms of the things that you must set apart to the Lord. You see that? All right. Number one, I'll come to this. No, I'll break this down. Number one, you must first give yourself to the Lord. So I must give, are we here? It's a school, right? Okay. So I must give myself to the Lord, number one. Okay. All right. Number two, I must give my time to the Lord. When I break consecration down to this, it will be simple. I must give my time to the Lord. Remember, consecrate yourself because I will do great things amongst you. The future is dependent on the consecration that I experience. Are we here? Okay. So I must give what? What's the second one? Time to the Lord. All right. Number three, right? I must give my gifts to the Lord. This is why it's a school, right? I must give my gifts to the Lord. Mm-hmm. What was the last one? Okay. All right. The next one. I must give my associations to the Lord. You see why we have to break it down? Because we might use the word consecration, but we may not understand without breaking it down what consecration actually entails. I must give my associations to the Lord. Are we still here? Okay. The next one. I must give my substance to the Lord. Now by substance there, I mean my resources. My resources to the Lord. Did you get it? Okay. All right. And then the last one is I must give my body. I must give my body to the Lord. You got it? Okay, I'll break those things down in a second, but just stay with me. I'm just putting it layer by layer. The concept of consecration here is actually in the same vein as the concept of priesthood or priestly ministry. The believer is called a royal priesthood. That's not a brand. Okay, all right. You know, we have ministries, royal priesthood ministries. Royal priesthood is not a brand. And it's not just an identity, it's a function. The believer, we are a chosen, a royal, a holy, a peculiar, called out of darkness into His marvelous light for the display of His splendor. Watch, all right, that scripture, that us being a royal priesthood, it's a function. It's not just a cool identity that we claim. The principle here, please, I just want to open your mind a bit. The principle here is that if God is going to raise a leader, his first or her first training will be in priesthood. Watch. All right. The concept, are we still here? Am I communicating? Okay. The concept of consecration, right, is the same as the concept of priesthood. In God, priesthood often precedes the move of God. That is how God operates. So let me give you an example. We go back to the book of Joshua. Still here? Are we still here? Are we flowing? All right. We go back to the book of Joshua. Two key incidents, right? They were about to cross Jordan. The instruction that God gave them for crossing Jordan included the priest leading the way. That was the instruction. The instruction required that to cross Jordan, to cross difficult circumstances, priesthood must prevail. Even though you have a promise, right? The priestly element of God must first be, oh my God, must first be cultivated in you. It's like, it's the law of the first things. You see that? And sometimes in our lives as believers, we can miss, because I'm coming to Corinthians in a second, we can miss the law of the first things. For example, there were scriptures that shows us that, you know, Abel, for example, right? He sacrificed, Cain and Abel sacrificed. They both gave sacrifices, but one was acceptable and the other wasn't acceptable. What distinguished their sacrifice? It was the law that Abel understood. The choicest things belong to the Lord, not just anything. All right. So in Joshua, two key incidents. Getting over Jordan required the technology of the priests. Then the second key incident was how they deconstructed Jericho. Jericho had to be deconstructed. Jericho was not a normal civilization. Right? There was no human effort that could deconstruct Jericho. So what did God teach them as a principle of deconstructing Jericho? You know what God said to them? God said to them, go around seven times and let the priest go in front. See, these are teachings. See, the Lord is, these are not just stories. God is teaching us concepts here. I'm talking to you about consecration. God said to them, he said, Jericho, if you're going to overcome Jericho, this is all Joshua's patterns. What you're going to have to do is the priests are going to have to carry the ark. They're going to have to go ahead and they're going to have to go around Jericho for 7 days. So can you imagine a warfare strategy? You've threatened your adversary that you're coming to take over, and you have some men carrying some box and going around 7 days. What kind of strategy is that? No, it is the strategy of God. That with God, learning to be a priest precedes any other move that God will bring you to in your life. And to be a priest is not to be an ordained minister. To be a priest is not to wear a collar. I have one. To be a priest is not to wear a collar. To be a priest, the Bible says we are a royal priesthood. So that means we are all priests. That means priesthood is not exclusive to some people. And if we're all priests, that means we all do the work of priests. So what is the work then of a priest? Right? One of the first ministries of a priest, Yofi, was to consecrate themselves. That was one of the first jobs a priest had to do. Before ministering to people, before interceding for people, The first job of a priest in the scriptures was to consecrate themselves to God. That without, hello somebody, that without that consecration to God, nothing else will be possible, because you will not be able to meet God at the frequency where God wants to operate. Are you hearing me? Yeah. It's the law of first things first. It's the same thing. That's what God will do with you. When God is raising you, when God is sending you, when God is elevating you, He will increase your priesthood levels. Are we here? He will increase. What is the job of a priest? The job of a priest is, number one, to consecrate themselves, but the job of a priest also is to offer sacrifices. Okay, both the priest and that which the priest offered must be holy to the Lord. My God. Because I want to touch, you know what I want to do today? I even want to touch on the subject of my gift. Your gift has to be offered. You know, your gift. You know what you call your gift? My gift is apostle, my gift is leading, my gift. There's more to your gift. Your gift in the Bible, a gift was not just that which was given, it was that which was offered. I'm coming. Just give me time. Just give me time. So, the concept here of consecration, it's the same as learning what it means to be a priest. Meaning that before God brings you into anything, He will teach you priesthood. And the way that He teaches you priesthood sometimes is not glamorous. You wouldn't know that what he's doing is that he's teaching you priesthood first, because you're a royal priesthood. Because the job of a priest is mostly hidden. Yeah. The job of a priest, mostly it's not a popular job. It's a job that can go unnoticed. It's a job that can. It's not a job where you gain attention with people. No, God currently may be teaching you levels of priesthood, and you don't realize that what He's teaching you in that area that He wants to take you into is how to be a priest first. That's it. And I'm saying to, when I say that, I don't, when I think, because some of you, your mind, I can see I was working priest as in holy, holy. No, as in the guy who wears a long. No, I'm saying that what he's teaching you is the law of the first things. That's what he's teaching you. And hey, if you don't have this education as a believer and you're building things, I'm worried for you. I'm sincerely worried for you. I'm sincerely worried for you. He will teach you. I know I'm repeating myself, but I want it to get into your spirit. He will teach you. He will teach you first before you reign. That's what he taught them in the book of Joshua. That before you reign and mountains of influence, because this is where we get it from. Before mountains of influence and culture, David, he taught them how to be priests. You know, before they possess Jericho. You know, we like, oh, you know, our names are big. Overcoming Jericho, dispossessing Canaan. dominion without priesthood is illegal. It's completely illegal. Totally illegal. He will first teach you, and in teaching you how to be a priest, are we still here? Is this making sense? Okay, watch. In teaching how to be a priest, he will first teach you how to be a priest to him before being a priest to others. Because it is very possible that we attempt to be priests to other people first before we are priests to God. Okay, let me get into my point. Are we here? I will explain it to you this way. Let me show you a scripture. Are we learning? Are we learning? Okay, if you're not learning, you can tell me you're not. All right, let me show you this. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. I can understand that it's hot, but God will help us. 2 Corinthians 8, 5. I want to show you something so important. Paul was talking about one of the churches in Macedonia. And the story here is, the story is that this church, this particular church, they were very generous in giving money. Okay? Well done, people. I know it's hot. Grace. Is it cold? I'm under a different anointing here then. You're hot? Okay. Let's just manage. Let's just be learning. We'll go. By the time we get to where we're going. So this church in Macedonia, they were very liberal in their giving. They knew how to give money. They knew how to sow seed. They knew how to... They were very liberal, very generous in their giving. So, okay, let's go from verse 1. This will help us. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 to 5. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord. Can you see that? I'm just trying to explain consecration and priesthood to you. So you got to stay with me. So this church in Macedonia, the Bible says that they gave according to their means and they went further and gave more. Okay. Verse 4, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. Now here, this is so important. So this church in Macedonia, right, they were very liberal. They gave to other believers. I've told you, I've seen believers who don't believe in other aspects of God. They believe in seed sowing more than salvation. I've met people like that. They'll be like, I don't play with my tithe. But I'm like, your other aspect of life is playing with your tithe. The way you live your life entirely. You pay tithe, but you live carelessly. You are tight. You are very tight. Thou art tight. All right. So Paul shows us something here. He says, this church in Macedonia, they gave and went over and beyond. But he said something that can go unnoticed there. He said, they gave not as we expected, Pastor Tino. They gave not as we expected, Paul. They gave not as we expected. What was Paul talking about that? He mentioned something that was remarkable. He said, they first gave themselves to the Lord. Listen to this. They didn't just give money. No. They didn't just give money. You know, there are leaders today, they don't care one bit about the soul of the people that God has called them to. As long as they get your money, they don't care one bit. And they confuse people. You're living in sin and your pastor is collecting your tithe. He's killing you. He's killing you. See, money has become their God. You agree to sow. So I'm going to talk leadership as well. They don't care. Let your tithe drop. They'll call you and say, sister, is everything okay? It's not everything that's okay. They just want to know where the tithe is. It's not that. But Paul said something here. He said, these guys in Macedonia, what impressed us about their giving wasn't just their giving, wasn't just their money. We saw that they first gave themselves to the Lord. So there was something that was driving their giving. It was the fact that they had first given. Nothing is as beautiful as seeing people serve God because they love God. There isn't a lot of that today. People serve God because they want to put their talent on display. People serve God for validation. Are we still in the house? People serve God for validation and gratification. People get married. Everybody look at me. Arise in the name of Jesus. People get married and they get shot because they don't go into marriage to serve. They go into marriage to be validated. Does that make sense? When I get married, I will have my 24/7 person. That's the Holy Ghost. There is no human being on earth, Sovane, that is a 24/7 person. As much as I don't sleep a lot, I still sleep. So that means I can't be 24/7 with Lady B. The time she's trying to talk to me, she sees that I've emptied my virtue in a day. I'm tired. She has things to talk to me about. Can you see what I'm saying to you? Okay, there is no 24/7 person. That's him. Oh, if I have a baby, I have someone who is truly mine. They will grow up and leave you. And if you don't prepare for that, when they're about to leave you, you will throw all kinds of things. There's no 20. When you're a parent, you're not an owner, you're a steward. And those two things are different. Does that make sense? Watch. Today, people don't do kingdom things for kingdom's sake. But the saints in Macedonia, right? The word shows us that even though they gave money and they had money to give, that wasn't what was impressive about them. No, it wasn't what was impressive. What was impressive about them, David, is that they first gave. That's so exciting. You know, I get that as a leader. I actually get it. When someone has a gift, but themselves are a gift to God, it's a difference. Does that mean, listen, okay. Some of you guys here, at the moment, that's not so, but you're gonna be employers of labor. Your amen was non-existent. Amen. So you're gonna own companies and corporations, and some of you guys are gonna lead churches and things like that. Okay, you're gonna see it. You're gonna be able to tell the difference between someone who is just working and someone who is giving. And not in terms of giving, but they are giving. You know, you can give and not be given. Do you get it? You can give and not be given. But when you meet someone who is giving to God and they are giving because they are giving, it's different. And the first thing God teaches you as a leader is how to be given. Because if you're not giving and you keep giving, that which you are giving practically will become a thing of entitlement. The first offering is you. The real offering, the real offering. I will teach you. Are we still here? Are we learning? People, are we growing? Watch. The first offering that God requires is you. That's the first offering that God, if you're not giving to God, you can never experience the realities of God. So Paul said, I'm coming to my first point. Remember I said the first point is you must first what? Give your, so let me touch it now. You must first, when we talk about consecration is the art of giving ourselves to God. I can attempt to give my gift to God, but if I don't give myself to God first and I try to give my gift to God, my giving is illegal. They first gave. It's amazing. I think it was Tola I was catching up with yesterday. We're talking about some things on worship, and I was just saying to him some things. That, you know, even in the things of God, are we still here? Can we still push a little bit? We can push? Yeah? Okay, you know this is a word house. Okay, so you should have learned by now, before coming on Sunday, do your shopping on Saturday. If it's not working for you, do online shopping. Let it not be that the reason why you can't sit down to hear the word of God is I need to shop. In 2024, that cannot be a reason. Does that make sense? Worst case, go hungry. Labor not for the meat that perish. Don't go hungry, please. Okay. All right. It's amazing. Can I have your attention? We're doing good. We're doing really well. It's amazing that even in the things of God, we may not be as giving to God as much as we think. Can I explore with you? Can I explore with you? I was watching a meeting the other day, and I get it, because being there, done that. You know, being there, done that. Being there, done that. Right. I've been on the road now for a bit. I've been doing this thing called ministry. Don't let my age, my looks Don't let it fool. I've been, yeah, there's mileage here. So I've been on this thing for a while. I've been on this thing. So been there, done that. So I want to show you about how, even when it comes to God, in our pursuit of God, we don't realize that we are not giving to God as much as we think we are. So now this one will shock you. So I look at meetings, we come and we go, you know, for 2-3 hours, get ready, eh? We're crying, fire, 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 fire. What is that? You gotta be patient with me. Hey, listen, I'm also about the end time revival. I love it. This is what I'm saying. The song, What the Father Saw in the Days of Old, we almost ended it because we sang it so much. I'm about revival, but you see us, I'm talking about giving yourself first to the Lord. Sometimes you come and you're like, fire, wind, rain. What is that? Show me a place in the New Testament. Apart from John chapter 3, where Jesus uses the wind to describe those that are like the Spirit, show me a place, apart from maybe Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost is you know, instituted in the church, where they gathered together and they were crying, fire, fire, fire. That's a strange element. It's amazing how you're saying you're seeking God, but you're seeking things around God. You have to process this. It's a very subtle, you're seeking thing, you're seeking elements. Okay, look at the prayer meetings in the scriptures. Look at the prayer meetings in the scriptures. This is why it's important to pray scripture. Look at the prayer meetings. They will pray in Acts chapter 4, for example. They were threatened. They went back to Psalm 2 and picked the prayer from there and said, stretch forth your hands that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your son, Jesus. That's how they prayed. Today we come together. We're like, fire, 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 fire. What is fire? What is that? What it is that, and the thing is, people can come for me too because we also move a little bit in the prophetic and some graces. So you can't say, oh, it's cessationist. No, I'm a believer Asianist. If there's anything like that, I believe anything scriptural. But now you go fire. And if God was to open that pursuit, you will see like that, like Israel, there's lust. That what you're not crying for is God, is elements of sensationalism. He has a name, you know. Jesus. He's not, yes, of course, fire is used to depict him, but he actually has a name. So even in those things that we call, are we learning? Are we here? In those things that we call, well, wind, that sounds like magic to me. See, it's subtle. See, that sounds like magic to me. Rain. We are in the days of Jesus. Those are symbols. We have moved from the symbol to the person. It's like, you know, marrying Lady B now and talking to her the first time I was trying to get attention. Being indirect. You know, like, what are the questions? Oh, if you end up marrying a pastor, that's how I set up. But she didn't know. If you end up marrying a pastor, imagine he brings someone to his house one day and says, yeah, I found him on the street. So I was asking her those indirect questions. So I asked her questions. But imagine now we're married and then I'm talking to her with ifs. In the Old Testament, they had to look for symbols. We have the person. So I unknowingly in my heart. You think Israel's practices are far from our generation? No. 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 Oh, you see, I remember. Okay, I'm going to get over it. I need to rush it. I remember there was a time. Now, I'm not saying that these things cannot even manifest. That's not my point. I remember there was the era of gold dust in the church. Were you around when that? Were you in the church? The era of gold dust in the church. My son is ministering and says, oh, I saw gold dust. I don't have a problem. There must be that in heaven, at least. The problem I had was, I was in a meeting once and a prophet was ministering and he said, gold dust. He was preaching like this, and he stopped the entire message.
And he took out his phone and started showing us, can you see? And he told everybody to queue to verify that there was gold dust on their palm. And I didn't think I had gold dust. I thought my palm was sweaty. And I did not gain anything because the teaching was gone to prove gold dust. You know what it is? I almost feel like this one, giving yourself first, is like a message by itself. I'm not even going to go through the other six. Because when I say consecrate, give yourself first to the Lord, there are a lot of things that includes. You have to examine that what you call your consecration to God, your devotion to God, is absolutely your devotion to God. There are those that say they are devoted to God. I'm going to say it as it is. You wake up for 5 a.m. prayer only to ask God for things. How is that consecration? That's not consecration. Are you hearing me? That's not when you wake up in the morning. I was just amusing myself. So, because some people, God has not been able to get them past. The main reason for their prayer is because they don't want Satan to attack them. You still need to consecrate, because that's not yet a relationship. And it's very possible such a person may not realize that they worship Satan because they fear what Satan would do to them more than God. It's S-O-L-D, so we have to. Does that make sense? Right? Or I'm just dealing with, they gave themselves what? First to the Lord. Or it's this pattern. Whenever everything is bad, I'm the best Christian in town. Oh, God of Jacob. thou art mighty. I won't pray in King James. And now ending message translation. No shadow you will light up coming after me. All right, there's nothing wrong with that. It's that, can you see what I'm saying? So in one sense, I am at the place where every time things are bad, oh, my deliverer. But when things are good, I don't show up in God's presence. When I'm in trouble, my prayer altar is ablaze. So maybe God said, well, the only way that they will pray, if this is their level. That's why not every affliction at the end of the day will say last. You know last. Not every affliction last may be bad, even though it may not be necessary. Yeah. Listen, it's not everything that we go through that's necessary. But last, because I learned the Lord in it, well, glory be. I may not even agree with God sometimes because I'm limited. But he knows what he's doing. It's about, are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Right? It's about giving yourself to the Lord. This is the thing that God cultivates in us the most. The most. And can I tell you why God wants us to give ourselves to him? Can I tell you why? This is also the subject of worship. The subject of consecration is also linked to the subject of priesthood, which is also linked to the subject of worship. Here is why God wants us to give ourselves first to him. Anything that we give ourselves to other than the Lord has the capacity to control and regulate us. Does that make sense? Okay. Who is it? Okay, please permit me. You know here that you're a proper football fan. Put your hand up. Don't, if you, Don't do that. Yeah, I'm coming for you. I told her I'm sorry. Your wife will say she's Chelsea. You have to order this thing. And both of you, convert. Since you guys haven't agreed, follow the apostolic order. All right, if you're proper, Lade will say she's Chelsea today. Who is Chelsea? Who is Chelsea's coach right now? Apostle. No, I'm not. No, it's not Apostle. I'm GN's coach. All right. Okay. You're a proper football fan here. Put your hands up. Let me. Yahweh. No, put it up. Let me see. Okay. What team do you support? What team do you support? You are the only Man City fan I know living in person. All other Man City fans, they are in the realm of the spirit. What? We need to talk. You support Man City, not United, as in Guardiola's team. You're different. So that means, do you watch the matches sometimes? Okay, so that means, you know, we're winning the league ahead of you guys. That's a different set. Okay, so you're see. Okay, who else? Let me see. Uche, Arsenal, Tolu? Okay, yeah. Okay, Liverpool. Who else? Okay, how many of you here in this place, you know what, you're not a football fan, but you know what team your parents support or your siblings support. But you're not a football fan, but you just know, oh, my brother supports. Okay, all right. Okay, so those of you who watch, I just want to give a simple example. Those of you who have relatives that support teams, do you care who wins the league? Does it bother you? Those of us that are avid football fans, do we? Oh, Paul, he didn't raise his hands, and I know why. Like this guy, he wanted to escape a Tottenham fan. This is why. Because I've troubled him so much behind the scenes. You're a wise man. Your sins are forgiven. His sins are forgiven. All right. Those of you who, Jim, I see you. I just don't want to disrupt my flow. You didn't raise your hands, did you? No, that's what happens when Man U deal with you. Okay, but now those of you that you have relatives that support, do you care about who wins the league? Those of us that our teams are at the thick of, are we bothered by it? We're bothered by it. Does that make sense? It's just that I'm more mature. Back in the day, I used to cry when a team lost. And I realized they didn't pay me. Okay, what I'm trying to say to you is that those of you who you have, but you're not avid football fans, it doesn't regulate your life. You see that? So, Man U lost today. Okay. Well, you might not even hear. It doesn't control your life. Those of you that are avid football fans, the reason why it's become a part of your life is because of where it is in your priority. Okay. Whatever you worship is high on your priority list. And whatever is high on your priority list has the capacity to regulate you. You see that? So, really and truly, some people will say, I worship God. No, you worship what you have prioritized. Worship is measurable, for example, by what does my time go to the most? I'm teaching you consecration. Are we still here? Can we still push a little bit? Can you give me a bit more time? Do you see what I'm saying? So people will say, I'm teaching about giving. Hey, those of you that said I won't finish this series in 8 weeks, I rebuke you. Because your prophecy is coming to pass. There are people that said that. And I know you. Don't worry, I'm coming for you. And you pray. You must intercede. Because the point here is that I can say, I worship God. No, I worship. In fact, what I am bothered about the most is probably what I worship the most. So if I'm bothered about money the most, are you, okay, when you don't pray and when you don't have money, what affects you more? I feel like we need a commercial break. do you see what I'm saying? I remember in my earlier days, one of the things I pray for is that first love. You know that first love. You know, when you, that there's this love when you first come to Christ. That's why God went to those guys and said, remember your, there's this love. You see, back in those days, if I don't pray, I'll be moody. I'll be moody. I will be uncomfortable. I will be itchy because I haven't prayed. Right? I'm just teaching what it means to give yourself, to consecrate, to give yourself first to the Lord. So, what affects you more? Lack of devotion or lack of finances? Can you have you ever stressed that? I haven't prayed. I'm just stressed. I haven't prayed. When is Why have I not prayed? I'm just stressed. Oh God, why haven't prayed? But money, ha! Stress overload. Sometimes what I am anxious about can show me where my worship lies. It can show me where my investments are. He can show me what I am conscious of. And that's why sometimes when God wants to, when he wants to establish you, sometimes he will, for a season, he might let you do without that thing that you thought that you couldn't do without. So that you can know that the only thing you cannot do without for real is God. Have you ever had stress to the point that you thought you would die if something doesn't show up and you're here? You're like, if it's sometimes the way the stress. One thing, one of my friends, we said this a long time ago. We made up our minds. I need to bring that brother of mine here. He's moved to Cambridge now. We said to ourselves, no matter what's happening on this earth, as long as we don't lose our salvation, that's it. We had to quickly realize that in this earth, you don't know. But one thing for me is that as long as last, you know what last is? If I don't lose my salvation, that it can be an exam, it can be as long as that thing cannot take my salvation away from me. I had to come to that realization quickly as a believer that the one thing that I protect with all my heart is my salvation. Yeah, I'm teaching you how to give yourself first to the Lord. It's just funny to me that we can be in severe stress and God says, don't be anxious. I'm like, do you understand? And you can read in your Bible, don't be anxious at 9, and then something comes to the post at 10. And is a letter of anxiety. Basically. And God's solution to that is not to necessarily send you someone to send money in your bank account. He will now send you that same scripture again. He will now say, don't be anxious. And all he's trying to teach you there sometimes is your worship. That what you haven't given rule over you cannot kill you. So all is teaching us in consecration. Are we learning? Is this making sense? So all is teaching us in consecration is very simple. It's teaching us how to prioritize him, because worship is what or who you have prioritized. And who you have prioritized or what you have prioritized has control over you. So that is why worship is God's exclusive right over his creation. Especially for us, his sons. So that whilst we remain under him, nothing else is above us. Let me explain that again. Worship. You see the concept, worship, consecration, giving, you get all of that stuff. When I say worship, I'm not talking about the songs. Those are expressions of worship. I'm talking about a life of worship. A consecrated life is a life of worship. You getting it? You following? All right. And the purpose of worship is, worship is what God has over us that no one else has over us, that nothing else has over us. Woo! Do you get it? Do you get it? We will not fall in Jesus' name. Do you get it? Worship is what God has over us that nothing else and no one else has over us. Because if anything else has that over us, it controls and regulates us. So worship is me being under his feet while I bring every other thing under his feet. That's it. It's that I am under his feet, and because I'm under him, everything else is under me. That's why it gets deep when we talk about worship, because there's no worship without dominion. If I don't bring all things under him, I'm still not worshipped. This is why this week is Climax Worship, and I'll announce a bit more on that at the end. I think I want to deal with Acts 17 in Climax Worship, Mars Hill, the whole story of how Paul went into this place, and they were worshiping the unknown God. And he was so mad because the summary of that story is that whatever they were worshiping was giving them identity. Whatever they were worshiping was contributing to their culture. When you're marrying or choosing a spouse, worship is part of what the person believes. Investigate. Now, doctrine is part of compatibility. compatibility? Oh, what is really compatible? Is it compatible? Are you compatible in doctrine? You will see that agreeing on the same doctrine can influence even how you parent. When your child grows up and they say, what do we believe? You're like anything. They give themselves first to what? First to the Lord. The idea of giving yourself to is a deep reality. You even begin to ask yourself, even when you're praying, we have more doctrines on speaking in tongues than seeking God. Now, I love tongues. Who would not love tongues? Like, who is normal that would not love like praying in tongues? What do you say in English to God personally after 1 hour? But we have more doctrines in this giving yourself. They say deep in this giving yourself to the Lord. Some people are more passionate. I'm fascinated with tongues than knowing him. Some people are more fascinated by prophecy and prophesying than giving themselves to him. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's why sometimes you want to understand when the Lord. So what we're going to do is this, not this week, next week, right? I'm calling a word fast. A word fast. Let me explain what I mean by that. We're going to take a week off entertainment as a house. It's this one, you want fast food, you're okay. You know how to end your food. But taking a week off all entertainment. And what we're going to do is, we're going to replace, it's just for a week. And I want to show you the kind of testimonies that will erupt in this house afterwards. Just for a week, I just want you to replace your entertainment with meditating on the Word of God. Just for a week. We'll announce that at the end. But you see, this thing of giving yourself to is a deep thing. So that's why sometimes when God now wants to call you to a higher level, he begins to deepen. He begins to deepen your consecration. Your consecration as a believer must grow. That's the point. Right? You're not just consecrated. You consecrate. You keep consecrating. Does that make sense? That means the level of your consecration last year, there must be a difference in the things. Okay, let me, I think I'll share with you. Iman, was he I was sharing with? on Friday. And it was Yann Michel. All right. Already, based on my walk with the Lord, already knew that there were certain things. This is a school of leaders and disciples, right? Already knew that certain things in ministry, based on God wires his conscience into you. You won't, on outside consecration, you won't get it. He wires his way of thinking into you, become one with it. So already knew there were certain things I wasn't going to do anyway. As in certain ways that I wasn't going to behave. So for example, things that maybe you ask me to come and preach for you, then I'll send you my bank account. And then I'll send you a form saying, how much are you going to pay me? Those things exist. So I already knew that I wasn't going to do that with my life anyway. That wasn't the point. But there was a time in my life, the Lord now, he called me even deeper. Imagine, I already had the resolve, but in a dream once, the Lord showed me, I just started ministry. I was just on the course of starting ministry, leading ministry. So the Lord gave me this dream, and this dream was very, when God speaks to me in certain dreams, the instructions are clear. I don't need to, and in this dream, I was preaching at a church, preaching, and powerful. I even remember the message. I was preaching on faith and Abraham. Powerful message. But in my head, as I was preaching, I realized that the way I got to that church, I didn't have a lot of travel fare. So in the dream, as I was preaching, I was thinking about, I need to get back home. I need my travel fare. So I finished preaching a powerful message, and then I'm walking, and a woman walks up to me in the dream, and maybe as a response to the message, she wanted to talk to me. She said, I really need to talk to you. But in the dream, I was like, these guys need to give my travel. All that was in my head was, I need to get up. Powerful message, but I need to get up. So I'm looking at the woman, and she's talking to me, but I can also see the church treasurer taking the offering away. I'm thinking, if these people go, then. So the man was talking to me, and I said, okay, just give me 2 minutes. So I went after to sort my travel fare. When I came back, the woman was not there. And I woke up from that dream. Now imagine, already, I already had a resolve that I won't even do such things. But the Lord came again. I'm talking to you about consecration. The Lord came again to show me that even though in the sincerity of your heart, you may not want to do those things, but there are legitimate causes. There are circumstances. Because to ask for travel fare is not bad. You see that? But the Lord had to show me again that sometimes it's not about I didn't intend to. It's that sometimes I didn't realize all the potential hoops that we're around that. That why do ministers start off without being money mongers? Is that a thing? All right. And then later they become fundraisers. Right? How did they become that overnight? I was talking to was it Rev? I was talking to someone. No, it was Pastor Samira. We were recording something over the week. And I said to her, we're recording a series on church. And I said to her that what I found is that most times when all these crises happen, they happen because the leader or the minister failed to observe a particular path that God tried to take them through to deter them from that place. That no examiner teaches you on the day of the test. Are you hearing me? That most times when, God forbid, that we run into certain circumstances in our lives, the prescription of heaven to avert those circumstances were probably given to us long ago. God can see that in 7 years there is a problem that's coming, and in this service, equip you with teaching. Are we learning? Is this a proper SOLD, or should I take soul back to God? Okay, do you understand what I'm saying to you? God, in the same way, God can, there was a season of my life that there was something that I navigated, that I didn't need to navigate. It was a relationship season. God showed me before. This is what I'm saying. He gave me ample time to avoid and to avert it. He gave me a curriculum, a teaching, a cult. Do you know how it started? So, okay, some of you have heard this story, but let me give you from this lens. I was just talking to my mother and she said, I'm with this person, a pastor, the person wants to pray with you. I said, here we go, prayer contractors again. Arrogance. Because then I fasted so much, I was thinner than a broom. So you couldn't tell me about fasting. I knew I was fasting. I lived a fasted life. So my arrogance. So the woman said, and the woman called, she spoke to me on the phone and she just said, oh, she prayed a short prayer and said, the Lord is going to show you something. Don't be stubborn. That's exactly what I did. That thing they said I shouldn't do, that shouldn't be stubborn. And she said, fast for 3 days. Can you see, consecrate? Why? Because the attention that I needed could not come from the everyday busyness of life to that thing. Sometimes attacks thrive on distraction. The main attack actually can be the enemy uses distraction as a way of, if there was no distraction, the attack may not have succeeded. So you know what I did? I did the most half-hearted fast ever. I fasted without my heart in it. And this was how serious heaven's communication was over that matter. Amen. In spite of my half-hearted fasting, I fell into an open vision. There are days I fasted harder. And I didn't help. This one, weak fasting. Like, okay, they said I should fast. And bam, I'm praying. I fall in, and for the first time in my life, I see what a demon from hell looks like that was sent to me. And do you see what I'm saying? And if I had attended to that fast properly and consecrated, I would have avoided everything that went on for like a year or two. You can end 5 years with 5 minutes of obedience. Sometimes, when I see our emerging young leaders, we're not saying this to say that we are better, never. It is out of the heart of love that I go, what are your marching orders? Anybody that has been in ministry, there's some things God would have told you. Everyone must have their John dimension. Don't drink this, okay? Feed only on honey and wild locusts. Every calling has a prescription. I'm saying you're a poet, so you're a dancer. Your calling has a prescription. And actually, what releases the glory is the level of compliance. That's what releases the authority. It's not just a skill. Are we learning? Is this making sense? Yeah. So that refusal to really consecrate properly. If I had prayed, there were now prayers. You see all the fasting I didn't want to do before. When I entered that trial, I fasted. I was fast. I fasted. I prayed. You see, it would have been better for me to consecrate. Oh, consecration is not reactive. It is proactive. It is pre-programming your future. Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. Have we gotten something from today? The other six, I don't know what we're going to do. So we go again next week. I'll pack all of them. I'll finish this in 8 weeks. You know, a day is like 1,000 years before the Lord. But are we getting the structure that Jesus is building for us here? Right? I know you're eager to do ministry. I know you're eager to lead. But consecration will give you your marching orders. Some traps, you would never know that they are traps. David, there's some traps and you won't know that they're traps. Someone can come to you and say, man, I've seen the biggest deal in this thing. I've seen that. And it's a deal. It looks good. But if you follow that path, I wanted to show you today, maybe, of course, when we proceed, you know, in the teaching, I wanted to show you some associations. Eh? Some associations, they're not alliances. They're not. In fact, a lot of people in ministry today that are backsliding, the way it happened is that they connected with people that they shouldn't have connected with. I will show you when next I teach this, that your don't shoot the messenger. Yeah. You can hide your face, but don't shoot the messenger. Your association is a product of your revelation of God. The people that you're deep in fellowship with is a reflection of how well you know God. I'll just leave it there. It's like, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. Our association, when we talk about consecration, it now even includes the people that you walk with. There are paths you walk with God. There are people you can walk with. I didn't say hate them. I didn't say reject them, but we can't just walk. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay. As part of my marching orders before God sent me out, He showed me a minister. I didn't know him too well at the time. And when he showed me that minister, we're all younger then. So I was talking to him, and in the dream I said, bro, I didn't know him personally like that. This was in the dream. I said, bro, but this is not what God asked us to do. That's all I said to him. And I picked up, remember that? And I picked up in the dream that he was distracted in ministry. But what I also concluded in the dream was that me and this minister, I don't want to sound strange, you know, but me and this minister, we were designed by God to run together in the work. Not in terms of planting the same church. He was one of the people that I think when God created me, he created him so we could be in the same dispensation. I don't want to talk about that today. But I saw in the dream that he was distracted. And even though he's an ordained co-laborer, I've not been able to form relationship with him till today. But I know him by the Spirit. But I've also seen the distraction. Do you see what I'm saying? And the distraction seems to be sometimes money. So I know him. I know someone, but I know him inside. But I have a limit. Do you see that? I know that me and this person, we're called to collaborate. But here's the problem. Before we even started properly, I saw, going to him, I said, this is not what God. I didn't say God asked me. We were us in the spirit. I said, am I communicating? I said, this is not what God asked us to do. So the only time, I've never told him that revelation. He doesn't know that I know that much about him by the Spirit. But the day that I see that he begins to align, I will connect. I'm just trying to show, because some people will be like, oh, I don't know what to do. He's my childhood friend. Oh, if any man is in Christ. He's my childhood friend. If I know someone by revelation and I've been disciplined, this is not to boast. I've been disciplined to say, until I see the person aligning. You see this thing called consecration, guys? It is so deep. We're getting ready to close. Wow. Have we learned something today? Okay. The first, let me stop there. Give themselves to the Lord. They first gave themselves to the Lord. It's possible to try and give other things to the Lord. It's possible to attempt to give your time. It's possible to attempt to give your gift. It's possible to, have you seen those circumstances where maybe a child is trying to let their parents know that they were not there for them when they were younger, and they go, but I paid your school fees. Have you seen those circumstances? Have you felt how serious that is? The person says, "Oh, you were not there for me." You're talking about personal connection and affection, and they're talking about the things that they gave you, but they didn't give themselves. It is possible to give everything to God, but not first give ourselves to the Lord. "But God, I gave you my tithe." They first gave themselves to the Lord. "But God, I gave you my time." That's the confusion sometimes. You have cases where people are absolutely, they are shattered in their hope because in their mind, "I gave my time to the church." You do give yourself to the Lord. "I gave my time to the Lord. This should not have happened to me." It's scripture that teaches us that when you're in leadership, he says two things. Acts 20, "Take heed to yourself and to the flock that Jesus has made you overseers." It's teaching us in Acts 20 that when I'm in a place of responsibility, I can be caring about everybody else's devotion, but not care about mine. Can I tell you something? Let me tell you the truth. If I haven't had proper prayer time, and I'm about to preach, and I have 2 hours, I will first spend 1 hour, 30 minutes talking to the Lord about my relationship with what he wants to do with his people is him. Me, that, does that make sense? And I've noticed that whenever I do that, the grace, the unction, I keep telling people, it's not so much of preparing to preach. No, that I may know him. That which we have said, which we have heard, which our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested and we have seen it. Yeah. You can give everything else, but not give yourself. You can give your gift. Are we here? You can give your gift, and you can try everything, but not really. It's amazing that I can even have an issue with God, but I'm serving him joyfully. I'm serving him joyfully. It's funny, I can have an issue, but I'm dancing. You know... Anyway, let me never start. But I have an issue with him. And he's telling me that thing that you're refusing to discuss with me, that disappointment that you don't want to open up. Because if you grow those other things, you don't deal with that disappointment. In the place of exposure and leadership, that can be the thing that Satan uses. Because he knew you were always disappointed in God and you couldn't slow down enough to talk to him. Why did he ask them to consecrate themselves? Because what it is that most times when you're in Christ, listen, what the victory that the adversary has over believers is not really because of his power. It's often down to our carelessness. Do you see that? Most times, it's not Israel. I want to close. It's unction. That's utterance. Israel, in the story of Bilam and Balak, they tried to curse Israel as a nation, your feet. And Israel, they were not aware. They were not in a prayer meeting, praying for them and die, I rebuke my enemies. These guys were doing different things, just living their lives. Whilst their enemies were trying to put curses on them, they were not aware. Their enemies found something out that because God was protecting them and they were God's covenant people, they couldn't curse them because God had blessed them. But guess what? Do you know what happened? Not too long after that, right? This was how the enemy penetrated. He sent Moabite women into the camp of Israel to defile them. So, as a result of that, they opened up themselves to corruption and death came into their camp. Their enemy was trying to curse them with force. He couldn't, but it was something internal that they did not guard that opened the door. So sometimes God is calling consecration and he's saying, "Okay, I hear you. I know you want to go out, manifest all those things and those things," but he's saying, "Just don't leave yourself open like that." Does that mean even for marriage, consecrate, because in consecration you can heal. Don't let it be that it's when you're married that things, and that's the thing, the shock can be. Are you seeing the rate now of divorce? Are you seeing the rate now? Before it'll be like maybe 10 years, 15 years, 1 year, 2 years, months, under a year. What's happening on the inside? The problems, are you hearing me? The problems on the inside are more. And people get to a place and then what was always there begins to show up. But you know, God's intention for us is that he wants to do wonders amongst us. Amen. Are you with me? This is a hopeful message, isn't it? Right, God, so hey, God wants you to be that leader. God wants you to be that powerful person without compromising. God wants it that at the end of the day, after you have done everything and blessed everybody, you are not without. God is thinking about you. God is invested in your long-term well-being. Guys, it also took me a bit of time to master a little bit of this. You know why I said that? I started preaching at the age of 14. So, based on my trajectory, I was a wonder kid. No, I'm not joking. By 16, I tried to create network edification in a different, I had something called Team Exploits. I started bringing together youth leaders in my area so we could collaborate to advance the kingdom. That was my first attempt at network edification. I didn't know that was what I was doing. By the time I finished secondary school, I had planted, I think, about 2 student ministries. At my graduation, you know, when they're saying, oh, everyone's going to be great, my principal looked at me and looked at everybody and said, TJ is going to be one of the biggest general overseers in the world. I became head boy in my school, not because my academics were like better than the others, but because I was a Christian leader. That was all. There were guys who were smarter than me in class, but just because of the aura of leadership, I was made head boy, senior. And in Africa, that's a big deal. I was head of the students. This is what I'm saying. So think of those trajectories. So based on that, the pace I should be at, what's Leicester? Do you see what I'm saying? So, you know, I was telling you guys like 2 weeks ago, you know, I had this dream where the Lord said to me, now run further in the ministry. I said, finally. Does that make sense? Right? Sometimes you can feel like you're even bigger than what you're saying, that you're better than this. But sometimes what God is trying, so after so many years, I am so at peace. Does that make sense? And I'm saying this to you guys as a testimony of what God can do in you. Some of you guys go, how do you do it? I'm like, guys, I've been on this road for a while. After a while, you learn how to do it. Does that make sense? I genuinely can say that in ministry, I'm at a restful place. And what I mean by restful place is that I there's just this abiding. It's living from God. Living in God. Now, by no means are we trying to say we are perfect. Hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm just sharing how God, and guess what? When God takes time to cultivate that in whatever space, in any space that he's called you to. Now, what I'm not saying is, you know, because when people hear these messages, they can sound like messages of don't do anything. No, I'm saying, like, do what God's telling you to do. That's what I'm saying. That if God is calling you to consecrate, to pray for so many hours, do it. You don't grow by doing nothing. If God is asking you to sit still under someone, sit. Do it. Do it. So because I can say this, this is not about pride, about boasting. When God does something, you know it. Even you will know that, man, there's wisdom here. Does that make sense? You know, it's like those are, okay, for example, you know, Yofi knows how to play the drums. There's a place he plays in. It's not that he hits something and thinks, what would this produce? You hear me? There's that mastery that comes from consecration. And guess what? When you consecrate like that, you would never be destroyed whilst you build others. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, yeah.